Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, January the 27th, 2025, and we are continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action on page 74, the second paragraph. Notwithstanding the great necessity for discussing ourselves with someone, reading through to, but we must not use this as an excuse, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary F., 12 Traditions, Judy, readers of the text, Susan S.H., Chanel T., and Karen K. The share ID for yesterday, Sunday's special edition, January the 26th, is 22111. That's 22111. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Mary F. is going to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Mary. Mary, please press star 1 to unmute.
Good morning. Can you hear me now?
Yep, got you now. Thank you.
Sorry about that. This is Mary F. calling from Virginia. I am a compulsive overeater, recovering. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to all compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Mary F. And Judy O. is here to read our 12 traditions. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. This is Judy O. from New Jersey, a recovering compulsive overeater.
One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you, Judy O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action on page 74, the second paragraph, notwithstanding the great necessity. And we will be reading and discussing that one paragraph only. Susan S.H., could you get us started, please? Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your service, Lynn. This is Susan S.H. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered today in St. Mary's, Ohio. Notwithstanding the great necessity for discussing ourselves with someone, it may be one is so situated that there is no suitable person available. If that is so, the step may be postponed only, however, if we hold ourselves in complete readiness to go through with it at the first opportunity. We say this because we are very anxious that we talk to the right person. It is important that he be able to keep a confidence, that he fully understand and approve what we are driving at, that he will not try to change our plan. But we must not use this as a mere excuse to postpone. I think we are blessed by so many available sponsors and fellowship to help us. I think that when the book was written, it was a growing fellowship that people may not be able to find someone quite so easily as we do. I look at what they say are. So the book was aimed at people who may have to do this on their own with only a book to guide them. And it's a wonderful textbook, but it's so much easier when you have a sponsor to guide you through it. So the qualities they say are important is that he fully understand and approve what we're driving at, that he be able to keep a confidence, and he won't try to change our plan. I found those things in my initial sponsor, and I am so grateful that I didn't have any excuse to try and postpone. I was not fully cooked yet at this point. And I may have done that if I did not have someone available that I trusted completely. So, I am so grateful for our fellowship, for the trust I have come to know in this fellowship, and for sponsors, all sponsors, my sponsor, my original sponsor. Yeah, this fellowship has shown me so much more human contact than I ever allowed myself in the disease, and I'm absolutely grateful for it. So, yeah, when we decide we have to postpone this, we may need to really look at our motives and not use this as an excuse, but step out in faith and just do it. And I will pass with that.
Thank you, Susan S.H., for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, which would be Thursday or Friday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help to hear everybody. Who would like to share this morning?
Tennessee.
Janice.
Good morning.
Yep.
McCall S., Massachusetts.
McCall S.
Ginger C., Colorado. Toby W. from Florida.
Oh, sure. I heard Toby, but there was somebody I missed. Let me tell you the lineup that I did here, and then we'll see who I missed. I have Janice C., McCall S., Vasa O., Toby, and Cheryl L. Did I miss anybody?
Ginger C.
Thank you. All righty. Here's our lineup, everybody, this morning. We have Janice C., McCall S., Vasa O., Ginger C., Toby W., and Cheryl L., and somebody chopping something. So if we could please have Jana C., followed by McCall S. And Jana, can you remind us where you're calling from? I think it's Tennessee.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. with an SH. And I'm from Tennessee. And I'm a grateful recovered compulsive. Thank you. And thanks for chairing the meeting and everyone who shared and has read. And again, Shanna C., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. So grateful that for this section. And so many times my mind would tell me, no matter what, it's going to be a bad idea if somebody really saw the things that, you know, I suffer from that terminal uniqueness thing that, you know, my stuff is the only stuff that's ever happened like this. And, oh, my God, what are they going to think? And these people are so much better than me, or they're not as bad, or these people are so much worse, or I'm not as bad as them. You know, it's the constant back and forth with the ego that definitely wants to separate me away from God and from people. And that's just, that's a habit that I developed over
my whole life for self-protection. And so by this time, but after having taken step three, you know, I need to remind myself that, oh, yeah, I took step three. I've abandoned myself utterly to God. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and protection. A God of understanding, the kind and loving God that the big book talks about. And so really the mental fodder that keeps me from wanting to take this part of, you know, the steps is really just the fear. And so thankfully there's a tool for that. And it's, you know, we learned in the fear inventory, we ask God to direct our attention to what he'd have us be to remove the fear and ask him to remove the fear and direct us what he'd have us be. And I don't have to figure out what he'd have me be. Sometimes I just get to do it afraid. Sometimes I get to be courageous, and I'm not always going to be unafraid when I have to take appropriate action. I'm going to have feelings about it, but thankfully the power enables me to take action courageously, even despite my feelings. So, and once I am able to take this step withholding nothing, I see that I'm not alone in the world anymore. I see that for myself. You know, I can mentally assent to this all day and take your all's word for it, but until I take the action myself, I don't have the spiritual experience myself to say, oh, my God, I know what that feels like now. And so with each step, with each action creates more humility, which is exactly what I need in order to be a part of the human race. So anyway, that's all I'm going to talk about. Otherwise, I'm going to start rambling. Appreciate the time to share, and I'm grateful that I get to be absent another day and a part of this thing with you guys. That's it.
Thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. And next up, we have McCall S. from Massachusetts, followed by Vasa O. Good morning, McCall.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for your service. My name is McCall. It's spelled M-I-C-H-A-L, and my last initial is S as in Sam, and I'm calling from Massachusetts. I'm really glad to be here this morning. Great shares so far. It was really what caught my attention and made me want to, you know, quote, raise my hand or to share was what was when it was mentioned about, you know, the qualities of the person and reflecting back on the person who, you know, took me through the steps in this book around my compulsive overeating. Did I identify? Sorry, I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm so grateful because there were some things, you know, on my list that I really didn't want to share. But I knew, you know, I also like, I wanted to eat so bad, but I also knew I wanted a different kind of relief. And other people were telling me, just keep going through the steps. It'll get better. So I really felt like if I didn't do this, like I just didn't want to go backwards. So it was like the pain of, you know, it was like, I hate to say it, as like the lesser of two evils, but I was like, I need a new kind of relief. And she was so gracious, you know, when I shared, you know, kind of the unthinkables, you know, or the things that, you know, I just really did not want to share. And I'm grateful for that. And I want to do that for sponsees. You know, I want them to feel the, you know, the safety and well-being, and kind of just goes back to the like first word and the first step, like we, like it was such a relief to come to this program and know like I was no longer alone with being a compulsive overeater. You know, I was so alone for so long and just trying to do this all myself and not understanding, you know, this malady. And so, yeah, just very, very, very grateful to be able to participate in my recovery this morning and to be here with all of you. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, McCall S. from Massachusetts. Next up is Vasa O., followed by Ginger C. Good morning, Vasa.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered compulsive overeater calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. Thank you, moderator, for your service. And I'm so grateful. I found Overeaters Anonymous years ago, and that was my last stop. I remember saying, if this doesn't work, I'm just going to die into this disease. And as I shared many times, I didn't know much about food addiction. I didn't know about the disease. I had no clue about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. But I had struggled with the obsession of my mind with the food addiction and other things. But I didn't know how to stop it. I didn't know. So I'm grateful that I was led into Overeaters Anonymous. And I did the first three steps, you know, very gladly to admit I was powerless. I couldn't do it any longer. And I was going to die if I continue doing what I was doing. And I'm grateful I learned what, you know, about the allergy, things I was putting into my body, the toxic things. And gradually I did lose the weight within 6 months. And then here, I needed to do the fourth and the fifth step. And I needed to find somebody that was suitable. And my sponsor brought me into the program. She knew the family. She was a friend of the family, so I didn't want to tell her everything about, you know, my life. And she also suggested I did go and get outside help. And I was really glad to do that. I did it with a counselor, being abstinent. And I didn't want anybody else to know about my life, you know, because I was too embarrassed to tell or ashamed. And I knew that was going to stay locked in the cabinet. It was not going to go anywhere. And I remember sharing some things with my counselor. And he said, don't worry. This is not going to go in the newspaper. It's not going to go on Facebook. You know, he reassured me. It was anonymous, like I had heard in the program, and it was going to stay there. And I was, what a relief. It was very painful going through it. But I was ready and willing to do whatever it took because I didn't want to go back to the food. And then gradually I started sharing, you know, like at the meetings face-to-face, a little bit here and there. And I kept some of the important things with my sponsor. And I don't share with everything. You know, there's a few things I kept, you know, with just a few individual people. So this program works. And my sponsor said to me, the only thing I want from you, Vasa, is just to pass it on. There's nothing I want from you. And that's what I've been doing. And this is what I do. I don't want nothing from my sponsors, just to pass it on. This program works. It has saved my life.
Time, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I pass.
Thank you, Vasa. From Florida. And next up is Ginger C, followed by Toby W. Welcome, Ginger.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for your service and everyone who's on the line. I am Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater. And I love just this beginning, notwithstanding the great necessity. Necessary piece is discussing ourselves with someone. And, you know, I'm so delusional that solitary self-appraisal never works because I always buy my BS. And really what we're after here is this truth, this fourth column, how am I showing up with these relationships in my life? And when I do this with someone and I'm with, most importantly, God, I really get to see my part and own it. Because when it comes to making amends, it's about showing up in a new way so these people can see that something's happening. And what I love more about this, and I think it's so important, that paragraph before, you know, we find a closed mouth friend. I find someone, so if someone's not available or the person isn't feeling great, trust your intuition. Because I have shared plenty with the wrong people, and I have enough shame in my skin. I don't need you to shame me with what I'm about to share with you. And I don't think these people mean to hurt you and shame you back, but shaming sometimes stops the words. They may not have been digging as deep and have gone to places where your healing has brought you to. And it's too much for them to hear. And I've had this experience. And so I want that closed-mouth friend, that person I don't trust very well. I don't think a lot of us do. I think that's why we're so into control. But I want to know, when I go to that person with that list, whatever I've written with God, you're going to hold it. You're just going to step by my side and listen, because God's the one doing all this work. I don't need a bunch of feedback. If you have some insight and you ask me first, you're considerate, and I say yes, then sure, share some of the truth that you're feeling around my experience. But again, ultimately, God's the healer. God's got me. We're not judges. We're not the arbiter. And again, this work is so tender. And someone just said it. I'm embarrassed to share it. And that's the gift. When I do own it and share it with the right people, I don't feel the shame as much. I get to lessen that piece of me and feel the love, the perfectness that God has created me. So I just think it's so important. I know who to call. And I know that person, I'm going to share it all. That's the thing, too. I can't hold back. I got to be honest. Bill talks about honesty throughout this whole work. And that's
time, please.
Thing. So grateful to be here sober again, you guys. Oh, so beautiful to be back. And with that, I will pass.
Ginger, please remind us where you're calling from.
I am in Colorado.
Great. Thank you, Ginger C. from Colorado. Next, we have Toby W., followed by Cheryl L. And Toby, where are you calling from, please?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Toby W., and I now live in Florida. I'm a grateful food addict, abstinent today, by the grace of God. You know, when I read this paragraph, I thought back. In 1979, at a meeting in Needham, Massachusetts, there were five people reading the Big Book. And when we came to the fifth step, nobody knew what to do. And one person suggested that there was a priest in downtown Boston that listened to fifth steps. So this Jewish woman who wrote the All-American novel of What You Did to Me, went to Boston. And as I'm sitting there across from this lovely man, I'm thinking as I'm reading, I can't tell him this, I can't tell him that. So I didn't do a thorough fifth step with him. Thank God, in all these years, I've done many, many, many fourth and fifth steps with various sponsors. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing another one. And I am so grateful that the steps are there, because it has healed me in a way that all the doctors that I went to, the psychiatrist, the therapist, looking for the help, has not been able to do, but the steps have. And I'll look forward to another fourth and fifth step again in a few weeks. And with that, I pass. And I thank you all for your sharing.
Thank you, Toby W. from Florida. Cheryl L., welcome.
Good morning, everyone. This is Cheryl L. calling from Florida this morning, and grateful to be on the line. The thing that stuck out to me was at the very beginning of the paragraph, and the urgency of sharing my fourth step, you know, as soon as possible after completing it. I needed to unload this stuff. I carried it around with me. It was like a bag of garbage, you know, on my back. It was weighing me down. I needed to unload it, and I was fortunate and blessed that I had a sponsor that I trusted. I discover as we work these steps that we develop a relationship, you know, with the people that we sponsor and are sponsored by. And so hopefully by the time we get to this point, we know that they are going to be closed-mouthed. We know that they're going to be somebody that we can trust to give us honest feedback. And so that was critical for me. And it also reminds me that as a sponsor, it's important for me to make myself available when my sponsees are completing their fourth step, that I not delay in setting that time with them to hear what they have to say. you know, because they want relief as well. And then finally, I just wanted to share, you know, thinking about the closed mouth friend and thinking about sharing, you know, deeply personal items. I do a written inventory, you know, on a daily basis, and I send that inventory to five people. And you know, I'm in two programs, so that's a couple people from OA and a couple people from my other program. And I really need to consider if anything that I'm writing in that inventory can affect them personally. And so I need to be mindful of that in sharing sharing these deep, you know, these deep insights, you know, what I'm experiencing on a daily basis, you know, my selfishness, dishonesty, and so on. And be very mindful of the impact that my words can have on other people. So that's what I have to share today. Thank you for letting me share. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you, Cheryl L. from Florida. And I have an announcement. A Vision for You convention is back. Are you ready? Save the date, November 7th to 9th, 2025, at the Marriott Newark International Airport Hotel in Newark, New Jersey. The Power of the Big Book Weekend is an extraordinary opportunity to learn how the 12 steps can free you from the bondage of compulsive overeating. Come join A Vision for You as the book is brought to life through the teaching and experience of those in whom the problem has been solved. Online registration is coming soon, so check the website at www.avisionforyou.info for updates. So this is just a save the date announcement. Registration will be coming soon, not yet, but check the website. So that's exciting news. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And just to remind you where we are, if you came on a bit later, we're in the chapter Into Action on page 74, the second paragraph, notwithstanding the great necessity. And we're reading and discussing that one paragraph only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please share once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share, please?
Jennifer.
Yes,
A.
Carolyn P. from Massachusetts.
Okay,
Carolyn.
Jennifer H. and gotcha, Carolyn. Thank you.
Stephanie R.
Okay, so far I have Jennifer H., Carolyn P., and I think it was Jesse R. Anyone else?
It was Stephanie R.
Oh, Stephanie, I beg your pardon. Okay, so our lineup is Jennifer H., Carolyn P., Stephanie R. Anyone else?
Adrian N.
Adrian N. Okay, let's go with that lineup. Jennifer H., followed by Carolyn P. And please tell us where you're calling from. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. This is Jennifer H. I'm calling from Virginia. Really grateful for the topic and for the meeting this morning. And thank you so much for all the shares. Really hitting home for me today. And you know, just sharing an experience just this morning, just woke up and feeling just, you know, not well. And, you know, I got on the line to make some calls and I wanted to say, yeah, I'm great. My program's great. I got it all going on. And, you know, that wasn't the truth. And I really had to look and see, you know, I really wasn't feeling well. And for no outside, external reason, just a deep sense of of loneliness, and it's something I have a lot of shame around. And this morning, making calls to fellows was, and being honest and being vulnerable was just so powerful, and it absolutely changed it. And, you know, just the kindness and people acknowledging their experience the same just really just reinforced just the power of this program and the steps. And I found that so much true with step 4 and 5, just being honest and being able to connect with other people. We're so fortunate in this program to have a space to do that, and to my old go-to is shoring up, the walls against these feelings with, you know, with actions and outside things, and, you know, this trying to fill, you know, this God-sized hole with something else. And, you know, maybe God had something to show me today with those feelings, and maybe it was that we are connected and a lot of us feel so many of the same struggles, you know, and that we're really truly not alone. There's a lot of people out here who are so helpful, and just really grateful for that, grateful for this program, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer H. from Virginia. Next up is Carolyn P. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, Lynn. So good to be here. Thank you so much for your service, and thank everybody who shared. I enjoyed listening to everybody. I'm from Massachusetts, and just want to start off by saying it's an action program. I have been through the steps. 1 and 2 was very easy. Step 3 is an ongoing process for me. I have to remind myself many times a day to do that step. But I chose to share my story with my sponsor. I really wanted to have her know me completely so she could help me by knowing me and help me be honest in the rest of our relationship. And it didn't frighten me for some reason. I was quite comfortable in doing it, and she seemed like the right person. And today is going to be the first day of being extremely serious about my program. I've already done prayer and meditation. I have a prayer app on my cell phone, and I'm on Vision now, and I'm going to make a call today, hopefully 2 or 3. That's all I have. I'm not a big speaker. Thank you very much again, Lynn, for your service. And thank everybody else, and have a wonderful day. I pass.
Thank you, Carolyn P. from Massachusetts. Next up is Stephanie R., followed by Adrian N. Good morning, Stephanie. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, Lynn, and thank you for taking the meeting. Good morning, family. This is Stephanie R., calling from Missouri. When I did I had done several fifth steps before, but I was going through the steps again with a sponsor, and I think I knew from the very beginning that maybe this was not the right fit for me, but my sense of being a people pleaser and wanting to go through just to finish the steps, so I think I had to come off a relapse and really wanted to get to being a sponsor again. So I shared my fifth step with this particular person, and it wasn't a good fit. I felt there was a comment that was made that I felt very judged, and I come from a place of significant self-judgment, and my self-esteem was really took a hit at that particular time. But I'm so very grateful that I didn't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I stayed. I knew that even though this was not a fit for me and the judgment and the self-doubt was there, that I knew this was the answer for me, this program. And I just had to say goodbye to that particular sponsor and move on. And I have a lovely sponsor now that helps me just, you know, with my shares, with my honesty. And I feel that that experience was there for a reason, that no person is my higher power, my higher power is within me. And I'm so grateful for that relationship because I had the clarity to know that people, you know, we're sick people. And I didn't say the sick man prayer at that time, but I do when I feel that self-doubt and that criticism coming up. So really grateful that I stayed. I'm so very grateful for my recovery today and that I do have a relationship with a higher power that helps me have the clarity to know that this is the answer for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Stephanie R. from Missouri. Next up, we have Adrian N. And Adrian, where are you calling from, please?
Good morning. I'm calling from Florida. And, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to share. But now that I think of it, you know, it took me a long time to do my fourth step. I came in the program, I was 20 years old, and now I'm 71. So it's a while that I'm doing this. And the first time I think I did the fourth step and fifth step, it was all about who hurt me. You know, like I'm a victim and the world should feel sorry for me or give me special considerations, you know, all that stuff. And then I started getting that. It's like, well, what did I do to others? And so, you know, over the decades, I've done a lot of fourth and fifth steps. I've done in AWOLs and different groups and therapy and, you know, all different ways, with forms, without forms. And it's like peeling the onion. I still come up with things that I've done and had totally forgotten about, you know. So it really is something that, you know, when we don't stop doing and might not do a formal fourth and fifth, but if we're doing the 10th, we're doing 4 through 9, so we're always doing it. But also, like, you know, I've grown a lot in that. In the beginning, I felt like the sponsor, you know, had to be a drill sergeant for me to recover, punish me, you know, be punitive if I wasn't perfect. And I realized that was just looking for more of the way I grew up. And that's not where I want to be today. So I have a very kind, loving, compassionate, understanding sponsor. And that works for me so much better because she's teaching me how to be that way too, and also to, you know, rely on God all day, every day, in every situation. Even when I'm not thinking about God, I'm relying on God because I've changed my ways, my attitudes. And I'm just so grateful to this program and everything I've learned over the years. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Adrian N. from Florida. Okay, we have time for 3 or 4 more shares. Who would like that time, please?
Patrick O.
Patrick O. Okay. Somebody else.
Maisie C.
Maisie C.
Roy
from
C.
Massachusetts.
Was that Roy C I heard?
Yes.
Thank you. And there was another lady. I'm sorry, I missed your name.
I think that was me in front of Roy saying it's Maisie from Massachusetts. Thank you.
No, I got you already, Maisie. Thank you. There was
somebody
else.
I know. No, but that was me talking when Roy was talking. I ended up saying Massachusetts later.
Okay, let's go with our lineup. Thank you. We've got Patrick O, Maisie C, and Roy C. Good morning, Patrick, and where are you calling from, please?
Good morning, everybody. This is Patrick O from Tennessee, recovered compulsive eater. I just wanted to share a little bit about my experiences with giving Fifth Steps. Years ago, one of my first ones, the list was so long that I made that my sponsor lost his patience with me and started yelling at me, like, don't you see the pattern here? And so it mainly became unsafe in that situation. But so what I love about what just happened recently with my very special sponsor is that she, one, gave me a plan of, I had 2 weeks to write a four step. So we set a date. That's what I've noticed. One thing, I love to procrastinate because I'm so terrified. And that's just a big word for fear for me. And I've experienced over the years doing fifth steps is that if I set a date when I'm going to do it with someone, that really helps me to stay focused. The other is to, I think I've heard people say about limiting how big my four step is, you know, and because it could be, I get in a tendency of just going on and on and on. And so I really like the direction of just keep it, you know, real basic and short, and we're going to have so much time to talk and that kind of thing. So I just wanted to share, and that really did help me just to stay focused on some of the big major things that were going on in my, that are going on in my life at that time. And I just realized, I just saw in my big book here, the date that I did my, that I had set for my, my fifth step. So I just wanted to share that experience that I just had this year, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick O from Tennessee. Next up, we have Maisie C, followed by Roy C. And Maisie, where are you calling from, please?
From Massachusetts. Good morning,
please,
everyone.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service. And I'm grateful to be here, and I'm glad I'm working the 12 steps. I've been in program for 24 years, and I worked them. But I worked them my way, to the best of my ability, I guess. But I'm more serious today. I remember when I first got into program, I heard somebody else say that, you know, my first fourth step was all about me. Poor me, poor me, poor me. I remember when I first got into program and I'm talking to people after the meeting and I'm, you know, again, poor me. And they're just, And I'm thinking, now I'm saying to myself, well, then I said, they're not even commenting. They're not even, you know, validating me. Well, of course they weren't, because they knew that this was not all about me. It was about other people, what I have done to other people, you know, working the 12 steps and looking at my own self. You know, like they say, when you point a finger at one person, point five back at yourself, and learning to be honest. You know, honest with myself, not just with other people, but honest with myself. I'm grateful for a wonderful, loving, patient sponsor that has, we've been good friends for many years, and I love her dearly, and she's been so helpful to me through the years, and patient with me, because, you know, I've heard somebody on the meetings always say, surrender, surrender, surrender. Well, I have to say surrender all, surrender all, surrender all, because half measures availed me nothing. You know, I'm grateful that I had a weight problem because it got me into the 12 steps and it got me into a better relationship with God, a much richer relationship with God. And all the things that I used to do that I didn't think, oh, that's not bad. I can do that. No, that's not bad. I know today that it is bad and it's not good for me. And I'm not a bad person trying to get good. I'm a sick person trying to get well. And I still have a lot of work to do. You know, I heard a man on TV say, you know, Joyce Myers always says, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Well, this guy said, I'm not who I want to be, but I'm not whose I want to be. And Boy, that really touched me. Was that time?
No, you got 10 seconds left.
Okay. Thank you. I'll wrap up. Thank you so much. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you, Maisie C. Roy C., good morning.
This is Roy C. from Southern New Jersey. I'm a compulsive overeater, and thanks for allowing me to share this morning. And it's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for everybody who's involved here. This finding someone to do your fifth step with was very difficult for me the first time that I thought about doing it and or did it. I actually, you know, found somebody to do the fifth step with, and it but it took a while, and I actually had one person who didn't want to do it, and it was a professional person, and but they gracefully bowed out and didn't want to do it, and that was all right. So I took my time, and I'm glad that I did, because when I finally found that person to do a fifth step with, it was somebody who I could really trust, and that was not bowled over by all that I had to reveal, and I went on to reveal other things at other times with this person. It was my second true sponsor, and he, you know, he did a wonderful job with it, and with that I learned how to do this in the future myself. I haven't had the opportunity to serve in that capacity to take a fifth step from a sponsee or anybody else, and I'm sure that time will come to me, and I'll deal with it at that time. It's not something that I'm anxious to do, and I have some concerns about it, but that's something that I'll have to deal with. Because it's a long road, it's a great journey. I want to thank everybody for being here this morning, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Roy C. from New Jersey. We have some time left for one share. Who would like that time, please?
Laura L. from Connecticut.
Great, Laura L. Please go ahead.
Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody, for your service and your wonderful shares today. I'm Laura L., compulsive overeater, food addict, bulimic restrictor from Connecticut. And I just was thinking, as everybody was sharing, one of my earliest sponsors. I've been in program for almost 24 years, yeah. It just astounded me. She just sat there. We were at her kitchen table, and she just said, okay, go ahead. Let me know what you wrote in your fourth. And I just started telling her, and I kept looking at her every time I said something that I thought was, oh, my God, she's going to think I'm X. You know, she's going to think I'm the worst person in the world or the craziest person in the world or whatever. And she didn't even blink. I mean, she just sat there and lovingly listened. And it was rare for somebody in my life that I didn't have people who just at that point just listened and didn't interrupt and didn't try to comment or put in their own 2 cents. And after it was done, so thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I don't know exactly what she said, but something along those lines. And it was just, it was really beautiful. And I've had many sponsors since then, but I still talk to her and we're still in touch and I see her occasionally at meetings. So anyway, I just wanted to share that gift, and it helped me stay in program, because back then I did not, I still was really not getting it. I was trying to get it, but I wasn't getting it. And her and many other generous gifts from my higher power came into my life, and here I am. So abstinent and recovered. So thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful Monday.
Thank you, Laurel L. from Connecticut. And thank you to everyone who shared and to our marvelous team Monday for their service in January. Mary F., Judy O., Susan S.H., Chanel T., Karen K., Hanayeta R., and Jeannie B. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And the share ID for today, Monday, January 27th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 22112. That's 22112. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Chanel T., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Lynn. Chanel T., recovered in Washington State. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.